This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Ah, welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgara.
We aren't tired at all.
Nope. We feel so good that we are going to podcast about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one's just about feelings and a guest.
Yeah. But
and his feelings.
And his feelings.
We were going to pick up David Huntsberger at LAX. We had a car issue. It's not that interesting of a story. Why? But we are now waiting at David Huntsberger's house, who is coming from LAX on his own. So it's just a little twist with our original format.
We realize that you guys have had the same format for, what, like 17 times?
Right.
So you're probably sitting there like, okay, we get it. You pick people up.
Yeah.
You drive them home.
Right. Why don't you ever just meet them at home after they drive themselves from the airport?
Why don't you ever have a dead car battery so that you make everything a half an hour late and then everything has to adjust in a weird way?
Hopefully it's your battery and not the alternator or starter.
If it is the alternator, Chris, I swear to God, I'm fucking moving away.
You're going to leave town because
of that? I will leave the car where it is. I'll leave my house. Two dogs locked inside. They'll starve to death. And I'll just start walking. And I'm fucking walking to the mountains or I'll walk to the fucking desert. I don't even care.
You're just going to live off the grid.
Yes.
And create your own country's flag.
That's right. And I'll quilt it. I'll quilt a flag out of old t-shirts.
Just like Martha Washington did.
That's right.
Did she knew. Who made the flag?
Martha Washington's good friend Betsy Ross made
the flag. Betsy did the sewing, but Martha did a lot of the design.
She
work.
Did design, and she would call Betsy on the phone a lot, on the toucans connected to string a lot, and just be like, "Hey, let's talk about design."
And then Francis Scott Key wrote a little song about that flag. And it goes like this.
Doodly-dee-bitty-a-ba-doo.
You had a different Star-Spangled Banner.
Yeah, at our school, it was Montessori. And so they let us write the Star-Spangled Banner.
It was just a series of child scats.
It was really the beginning. It was the dawning of the age of child assholes. We really kicked it off big time in the
70s. America!
Yeah. Yay! Recess.
Oh, so we're waiting. We are waiting, and you know, David's got... I've been in his place.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is nice.
Is it?
But this is one of those neighborhoods where I wouldn't be... I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked if someone drove by and opened fire on us.
Right. And I wouldn't be surprised because that's what happens on this podcast. Violence is a big part of it, as everyone knows.
Everyone knows. If it's not someone chasing us down with a bike lock, it's us driving past someone murdering another man with his fists.
Oh, and I didn't tell you this. On my way home from that show I did Morgan J's show in Marina Del Rey last week.
Morgan J.
You know Morgan J, right?
I don't think so.
He's a young up-and-comer. I think you'd really like him. He's very funny.
Okay.
And really, he's a nice guy. But I was driving home from that, and at that same intersection, there was a guy. Oh, look at this guy.
Yeah, this is an intersection of confusion.
Yeah. Right now, there's a man that's doing a thing that...
He wants to play a slow merch. Why?
Slow that chicken? Were you going to say something like it was a slow chicken?
I was going to say slow merchant. He's playing a slow motion game of chicken. that was a weird... I wouldn't have done a 14-point turn in the middle of the intersection like that.
To go back up the street.
Teach his own.
Yeah, I mean...
Anyway, Morgan Fairchild.
Morgan Fairchild is one of my favorite actresses, mostly because of her beauty, but also because of her talent. I was driving home. I was at that same intersection, and there was a guy... so drunk that he was like running into the traffic and yelling at cars and doing that kind of like gangster big chest pigeon stance, like he's gonna fight cars.
I know that dance.
And his you know it.
I've lived it. I've lived the puffed out gangster chicken dance.
And then he was like, his friend who was also gangstery looking was trying to get him out of the road, and people were honking. I'm sitting here at the light. I literally real subtly rolled up my windows and locked my door. Scared to death.
Because you don't want to piss him off by them noticing.
Like, oh, you're a bad person, or I judge you because you're trying to beat up a car. And then cops rolled
through. That's why I have this police issue baton. Just
look at it.
It's basically in a holster next to my seat.
Chris is wielding a police-issue baton at me right now.
I'm not... It's not pointed at you. I'm just showing it.
It was perpendicular to me.
Look at the way I'm presenting it.
He really is. Now it's a gorgeous kind of Bob Barker's beauty-style presentation.
It is a cherry wood or mahogany. I don't know. Feel the girth on that.
Whoa.
Yeah. You don't want to...
That's a heavy stick.
Yeah.
Whoa! The window goes out.
Oh, that would have been great.
That kind of would have. But anyway, then a cop came by, and immediately it was like, suddenly I was a police zone, and this guy was getting arrested. It was like, it happened super quick.
Wow.
And it was the same spot where the guy got dropped violently and horribly.
Yeah, the corner of, I think, Pico and La Brea.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a dangerous stop.
I think there's a bus stop there. There's a lot of...
Have you ever ridden on the bus? For a prolonged period of time?
In Los Angeles?
No, probably not. I'm answering a question I asked you.
I thought you were saying you were going to name a different city.
No,
not Los Angeles. Have you ever ridden a bus in
Castaic? Poughkeepsie.
I used to have to take the bus after I stopped drinking and had seizures. I couldn't drive for 3 years. So I had to take the bus.
Oh, right.
I took a bus that went from... It was like the bus that went basically from Cahuenga and Franklin over the hill to the Warner Brothers, because I had my first writing job. It was the worst.
Yeah, taking a bus to a job. I would take it at night. I would ride my bike to the bus stop and put my bike on the front of the bus. Yeah, and go from Venice to... I did it once for a Largo show, and I did it once for an M-Bar show, and Jimmy Pardo made fun of me and said that I rode the bus there. And I got very offended. But it's, I didn't want everyone to know I was riding on the bus. I wasn't dressed like a bus person. And there is a dress... One time a guy on the bus was just covered in feathers.
Wait, was that a bird? It was a bird on the bus.
White feathers. He was just in sweatpants, but head to toe in feathers. So I thought, well, he just went into a chicken coop somewhere in L.A. and murdered a bunch of chickens.
Sure.
Or he has a down... How does he have a down comforter and I don't? That was my other thought.
Maybe he's a very rich man that was there to show everybody, if you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you could have as many feathers as
and
I have.
And you can get on a bus and yell the C word at some unsuspecting woman.
See, that's the thing. The bus was... It felt like a ticking time bomb all the time.
Yeah.
And my route was very low-key. It wasn't like we were going through... It was very... It was one of the lowest keys about all bus routes, I think.
Yep,
it's
a place for people that don't have much else to do to just kind of hang out all day. The most memorable time ever, if we want to swap bus stories, and
let's
I know
do
we
it.
Do, that sometimes you'll stop at a school, an entire class will get on the bus.
Yes.
Or an entire part of a school. And I, it was like fifth grade age kids. And there were so many people already on the bus that this little kid holding a bag of, I think, spaghetti. It wasn't a Ziploc bag. It was like the lunch lady grabbed, tore a piece of plastic, and he was just holding it tight with his hand. It was not...
Oh, I and, don't even...
And he was... It was so crowded that he basically was sitting on my leg. And as we were... He was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's like, it's okay. There's not enough room on the bus. And then as the bus went, he was dabbing my leg. He got spaghetti on my pants. He was just blotting with this spaghetti bag. And I was like, well, that... I'll take your apology for the spaghetti dabs. But then, as he got off the bus, he's like, I'm sorry I got spaghetti on your pants. And I was like, oh, you're a sweet
little... What wonderful manners.
He was a sweet little kid, yeah. That's I'll never nice. Forget that kid.
And thank God he was sitting on your lap and not some horrible, bizarre pervert.
Exactly.
That story went as well as it possibly could have for what it was.
Right. No, that was a situation where I was like, I could have a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah, they're great.
They're great. Someone was doing a good job with him, too, because
he was a sweetie.
Good manners.
Although, who's making him... it's his mom saying, hey, bring some of that spaghetti home for your brother and sister.
Who knows?
He doesn't want to be holding a bag of spaghetti.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could just think of a million stories behind that spaghetti story, and I just can't go there. I can't think about a kid that needs spaghetti from school.
No, I mean, a lot of people, you know... Spaghetti doesn't just grow on trees. Imagine a world where it did, though, just for a moment.
Oh, God.
It's gone. It wasn't even spaghetti, really. It was wagon wheel pasta.
Oh, that's what you were imagining?
Yeah.
No, I was imagining a beautiful tree, like a willow tree in Italy.
Yeah, but dangling instead of branches, it's just spaghetti noodles.
Just a shit ton of spaghetti.
And then the wind comes a-blowing and you get sauce all up in your face.
And then just a nice cat comes and licks your cheeks.
Spaghetti tree cat.
The fuck?
It's late.
Oh, God.
It's might as well be midnight.
It might as well.
I'm concerned about David Huntsberger's well-being.
I feel like we could just talk about David Huntsberger for this episode.
And then he can just jump in at the end and go, and that's all for me, folks.
I confirm and deny everything you just said about me.
In conclusion, I wasn't here. The end.
Goodbye.
No, he'll be here any minute.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
They didn't want to wait at LAX, and so we decided to meet at his house, where we have waited as long as he would have for us.
Yep.
Because I was already here when I got the news of your... what isn't your alternator? It's just a dead battery.
Oh, God. It's going to be the alternator.
It's going to be every... We're all going to be riding the goddamn bus with spaghetti pants.
I'm so spaghetti bound. It's not even funny. I'm already ready for it. That's the thing is, like, when you don't maintain stuff, it falls apart exactly when you don't want it to.
Exactly.
And that is what I'm going through right now.
And then right when you called with your... car woes, that's when my flat tire light came. Earlier I had a flat tire, you know, I filled it with some air. That'll buy me a day or two. Try a couple hours, Karen.
Well, you know why?
Barely.
Because we're all over this goddamn town in this car. But here's the thing. We are against all odds doing this podcast tonight.
Yeah.
We're beating the odds. We're flying in the face. You know when you get down and everything starts piling up against you?
You're talking about during the war, right?
I'm talking about World War II. I'm talking about the people
your friends are piling up on you.
You know when you have been shipped by train to a work camp and you're separated from your family.
Or trained by ship.
Or you've been trained to work on a ship to get away from Germany. Look, there's all these scenarios. And the bottom line is... keep your chin up.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to make it. If we don't make it, that's fine too.
Just because your friends are dying and the ones that aren't dying are breathing next to you on a submarine doesn't mean you can't keep your chin up, soldier. Right?
Get that chin up as high as you possibly can, soldier.
Every time we have an episode, I realize how patriotic we both are.
Oh my God, I fucking love this country. It's the only reason that I haven't died yet.
You know what? These colors don't run. But if they did, it would be a beautiful shade of fuchsia. That's my impression of a gay patriot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked it because your voice stayed kind of the same. You went up a little bit.
Well, I'm not going to be disrespectful.
Right, exactly. It's modern.
Exactly.
It was a modern representation of a gay patriot. I think that we need more of that on this show. I'll do an impression now of a pansexual patriot.
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to sleep with you at 1 and you at 3 and you at 5. So everybody put that in your schedules. Pansexuals are the people that fuck everybody, right?
Yeah, but what's patriotic about that? That they're good at scheduling?
Yes, because that's very American.
It's so American.
It's appointment sex.
Right.
It's from what I understand.
Yeah.
I actually had a friend who went on a date.
It's like apple pie
and
making appointments.
Making appointments for stranger sex. My friend went on a date off of OkCupid, and the guy she met with was pansexual. I think she said pansexual. And that's how I know about this, is because she sat there and she said for 2 hours this dude talked at her all about his lifestyle choice and whether or not she was going to fit into it.
Oh, wow. Not that she had a choice. It was his choice.
Well, no, he was kind of making it like, are you into this? But she had put something like that. She put something on her OkCupid profile that she accidentally was queuing to people like that were sexual experimenters. It was something like, I'm open-minded, and she genuinely meant it like,
oh, okay.
She did it wrong because she didn't know.
It just came across like a calling all freaks.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if that's
a freak. I don't, honestly, and I'm going to sound maybe dumb or uninformed. I don't know what a pansexual is. I've heard the phrase, but I'm still unclear.
I don't really
know.
It's
just
either.
Someone that makes appointments?
It's someone that has sex, it's almost like open relationship, except for they don't have one single relationship. They have a bunch of sexual relationships with a bunch of people that all know each other, and I think they all sleep together.
Oh, that's like, and that's basically the basis of Pan Am Airlines.
That's right, because they were like, how do we get this done while we travel for business? Because we were just like, it's the scheduling thing. Let's get it all done at once.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's okay to have moments of dead air.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was told a long time ago.
By who?
Oh, a guy on a bus.
No. Feathers McGee? Captain Feathers told you that?
It was the leader of all the Feathermen, Captain Feathers. Oh, yeah, that man in the feathers, he yelled at a woman. And I said, hey, let's all just relax. And then he just stared at me. And I remember I got off way before my stop because I was scared of him. And then I just had my bike and I realized I was halfway, but I was scared of the feather man.
I would have been horrified even if I'd never had an exchange with him.
Yeah.
He was covered in fucking feathers.
It was hilarious. I almost felt like, oh, this is a hidden camera situation. But it wasn't.
That's what the bus is like. The bus is like a prank show that no one is filming.
I'm gonna text David and see, like...
Do it.
ETA. That sounds passive-aggressive.
Well, but he knows we're waiting.
All right. And,
should I talk while you're texting?
Yeah, yeah, or just do a song.
Oh. Well, sometimes when you sit on the street waiting for someone to come be on your podcast, you're like, oh my God, where are you now? Just let me know where. Like, are you on the 10 or coming up La Brea? Sing it with me.
Okay.
Coming up.
We got it. I knew when you were going to... That was my plan to cut you off, is when you wanted to have me join in. Because you have a talent for that, and that was a beautiful song.
Wasn't it sad? I felt like there was a real...
That was a great song.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
I'm glad we recorded it. You know, we recorded that. Forever.
Should I turn it into some kind of a contest?
Yeah?
Let's turn it into the contest.
Okay, so after you hear that song, let's go ahead and send in your submission.
No, no, no. Let's not. I'm not saying start a contest. I'm saying get me into a contest.
Oh, like it's one of those songwriting contests.
Yeah, I want something for what I just did, I guess is what I mean.
Well, I'll take it. I'll convert it to a CD, and we'll I'll put it in some envelopes, and we'll Great. Mail them off to all the sweepstakeses.
Good idea.
I see the car. I see him trying to park. I don't know if they have a driveway, but he is behind me.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah, yeah. He will be approaching very soon.
Cool. David Huntsberger, you know him probably from the Professor Blastoff podcast.
Great podcast.
What else would people know him from?
They would know him from living with me for 2 years.
Yes, he was Chris's roommate.
He lived with Tig Notaro and I.
Tig was in there.
In Venice.
Yep.
And then,
look at
and
her
then
hat.
David and I. Oh, she's got somewhere to go.
There's a lady wearing a straight up, like, exciting looking ski hat.
It's a beautiful 1970 ski hat. She looks like a Sherpa.
Yeah.
She does
actually look like...
She really looks like she'd be up in the Himalayas.
But she's Sherpaing people through Thai Town here in Central Hollywood.
Instead of someone else's luggage, she just has a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Of her own.
Of her own spaghetti. Coming up La Brea. Let me know when you're gonna be here. The Fleet Foxes.
Oh, now he needs to... On Gilbert. Okay. Oh, now people know across street.
Uh-oh. They'll never find us. The funniest thing is the idea that people listening to us would give two shits about, like, tracking anybody down.
Yeah,
I really don't feel like those are the people that listen to us.
We have been very careful, though, because some people are protective of, you know, their families and their belongings.
I think that's smart.
I'll tell everyone right now where I live.
Don't do it! No, don't!
It's on Washington.
No, no, please, God.
Oh, I almost did it. I'm so glad you stopped me. I could see a real sense of urgency in your face. You're right. It would have been a mistake.
Yeah.
I don't know how many... And, God, if you're listening right now and you're a fan of the show, thank you.
Yes,
and
thank
we
you.
Love you, and we appreciate everyone. Whoever did that, do you need a Ride Fan Tweet site? But there's nothing that's telling us you won't come to our house and stab us out
I
of
mean,
love.
But same as anyone you'd ride the bus with. I mean, we risk this all the time.
Do you know who really loves Selena is her fan club president? She was obsessed with her.
That's Guess, exactly right.
You know what she ended up doing?
Killing her.
Busting a cap in her.
Didn't she stab her?
I believe she busted a knife cap.
Was it one of those capped knives?
No, she came up and said, "May I interest you in a knife cap?" And then she stabbed her. It was very confusing. She's like, "Oh, that's the last thing I'll hear is that bad pun."
I thought you were inviting me to your bachelor pad. God damn it.
Oh, that's terrific.
It was a woman.
Well, I saw David in the street for a moment.
Coming up La Brea.
Yeah.
He'll be here.
Yeah, he will be.
This actually could turn into one of those, like, it's a, like, we're waiting for Godot situation, where we're waiting for somebody, and they might not come. It's a twist on our classic version
or
of
waiting,
our podcast.
Waiting for Guffman, even. Waiting for anyone.
Just waiting.
We're just, I think he will eventually come in, but I'm afraid it's going to be close to Arson. He's just going to be here for half the episode. We've done that before.
I think... It's fine.
I like it when you and I riff, and then all of a sudden someone jumps in.
Yeah.
And we let them take the reins.
That's the fun times.
It is the fun times.
Because, you know, don't you mock me. We only have each other right now.
That's the fun times.
Sometimes when we just talk for a long time, I like to start new phrases, like, that's the fun times.
Well, yeah. Sometimes I don't know the difference between a new phrase and a word I've said my whole life, because the sound of my voice just sounds like the droning of an alien. Because we're all just weird. We're all just animals.
We're all super weirdos at the end of the day.
We're all just animals breathing out the sounds of, you know, consonants and vowels.
Yeah, that's right.
And what are those really but an invention?
I had to. This I just thought of the all of that feeling reminded me of how I brought my albums to the Eugene Merman Comedy Festival that I did this past weekend.
Oh yeah.
Because I thought, oh, that's a good idea. You should bring your merch. I never bring merch anywhere. I never try to do anything with them because I find it so shaming. And so I did it, and I think I only sold three. And two of them I sold to people that are friends of mine.
And one you gave to Wyatt Cenac.
I did.
And you went back in the green room, you told me, and he had left it.
He forgot it there in
the
green
room.
He
forgot it. I think we've both decided he simply forgot it.
I'm choosing to decide he forgot it because
what kind of a crazy person would say, can you also sign it? Which was, you were flattered, of course.
Of course.
And then on purpose go, fuck. Nah, finally she's gone, I can leave this here.
Well, you know what it is? The idea of that, of a person that would go to those lengths just to make me feel good about the fact that he has my record. That's what was the concept of that, of like, am I so out of touch that I just made a person...
Oh my God.
What?
I know. Oh, he's not...
He's not here? Oh, Chris is going to get into a text fight with David Hunsberger. This might be like a really a hot button kind of a Fox News style arguing episode. Is that him? With the tank top?
No.
Mm.
Sorry,
That's all right.
I don't want to make you sing again.
I don't want to sing anymore.
I'm not sure why. I guess he just went inside.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he not understand what we've been through?
I don't know. I guess he didn't see... Do I have to get out? I mean, we're all hooked up, so I can't really.
Well, also... Yeah, just text him and say, come down to the corner.
I did, and he just said, I'm so confused. I don't know where Beverly, Melrose, or, okay, I'll just drive in the street and honk, I guess. It is confusing when, but things can be confusing on both ends.
Yes, there's nothing, we've had nothing but confusion today. And like the great pansexual Americans that we are, we're gonna make it through,
I guess. Hey, David.
There he is.
Oh, sorry, that's Gilbert.
That's Gilbert?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, I thought you would know. Oh, sorry.
Hi.
Yeah, I
hey,
saw you in the street.
How are you?
How are you? David Hunsberger is now in the car. He's not wearing shoes.
I'm wearing cave people shoes.
Is that what you call bare feet?
I have flip-flops on.
Oh, you are? Oh, okay. Are they transparent? God, it really looked like you had bare feet. Yeah, sorry about that. You just walked down the street.
I was really close to you guys. I was, I walked nearly right to you.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why. I just thought you would see us if the lights weren't on. Sorry about that. And sorry,
I should know my neighborhood. I was going down, up and down the streets in my head and thinking, Gilbert, where would that be? And then I was moderately impressed with myself that how well I knew the streets in the neighborhood, and then so disappointed to find out that Gilbert is the closest street to me.
Oh, yeah. I basically thought we were in front of your house. I saw you park in the Millennia.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was my car for a brief period. And sold it to David when we lived together on Stoner, which everyone gets the wrong impression, right? Stoner.
They do, yeah, Stoner Ave. They make their jokes.
But did you guys not party? Were you straight edge?
Stoner
straight edge.
He invented the M16.
What?
Yeah, he wasn't a stoner at all.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
I just looked it up. L.A., he's an L.A. man. Something stoner.
It really sounds like you're making this up.
I absolutely am not.
Okay.
You know that our router, the past, you know, the name of our Wi-Fi network.
Sorry,
I snapped at you. No, that's fine. I can take it.
Because we lived on Stoner, I named the network Hashpipe. But it's really hard to change that. So now wherever that router goes, it's just Hashpipe. And so, like, my girlfriend's parents come over and go, what's the Wi-Fi?
Still is?
Still hash pipe, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Do you just convince them that you really like that one horrible Weezer song?
Yeah, I just play it on loop. That's part of the package. Yeah, it comes with the router.
Yeah.
And they are not amused. And it's such a stupid backstory as to why it's named that, and there's no payoff.
Right.
I get it. Stoner and hash pipe.
I hate when there's something that you have to constantly explain to people, and you know that the story goes nowhere,
yeah.
But they demand to know the story.
And there's no better way to get people to tell a story or to make you tell a story is to go, you know, it's nothing. You don't want to hear it. They go, no. What is it?
I gotta know now.
Yeah, now you've sold it no way whatsoever. I can't possibly go on without knowing this.
It's really, actually, it's a horrible story. I don't want to tell it.
Now you piqued my interest.
What are we gonna? You gotta tell me.
Consider me buying this ketchup popsicle from you, sir.
this story is gonna put you to sleep or make you angry. I swear.
If you don't tell it to me, I'm leaving right now.
Oh, God, okay, here's the story.
That happens because
I found a street called Stoner.
I named my dog George, and people will go, because it's a girl dog, they'll be like, oh, what? And then I'm like, her name's George Lopez. And then they go, why? Why did you name her George Lopez?
Why wouldn't I name her George Lopez?
It's just dumb. It's exactly what we're talking about. And I just end up walking away most of the time.
I had for a while, get out of it. With some friends, we started feeding some cats, and they were named Car and Truck. And everyone really... And so I actually made up a story that I found one in a car and one in a truck.
just to get people off my ass.
Yeah. There's no room for irreverent whimsy.
Now, David, you have a very popular podcast called Professor Blastoff.
Yes.
Professor Blastoff, if I can say it. This is different, right? You're talking the back of our heads. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I get a little bit of Karen. She turns.
I like to turn
she
sometimes.
Pivots.
I try to do the same, but every time I do that, it's risking all of our lives.
It's slightly more dangerous, yeah.
Yeah.
But our format's exactly the same.
Yeah. You sit behind.
Right. It's a disembodied sort of head that you talk to on ours. Elsewise, it's exactly the same.
Ooh.
You still have that head in a jar?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Wizard of Oz.
That's our moneymaker. Yeah. Excuse me, speak to the head, please. Don't look at me.
With us always is Walt Disney's frozen head. Thank you for joining us. How'd you get into animation?
It's not a very good story. No.
Oh, I have to hear this now, Walt.
Disney. Walt Disney.
Anything a disembodied frozen head says is interesting. No, really. It was on a whim. I just started doing flip books. Oh, tell us more. That's the story. You actually, David, are... He's undertaking quite the undertaking.
He's overtaking that undertaking.
He's doing a animated comedy special done by several artists. Am I right? Is that a good
Well, it's not... It's because the thing on the... says, like, you know, animated comedy special. It's not, like, just animation. It's stand-up and animation. So that's, like, a... And eventually there'll be a DVD that'll have like three versions. You can watch just me do stand up. You can watch it with this screen that plays animation that happens at the same time, and or just the animation, which I think would be the best way to watch it.
I mean,
I never really explained it. I don't like giving that much away about it.
Just keep the mystery alive.
Yeah.
I pictured it like The Simpsons, like you were going to be animated.
Yeah.
As you did stand-up.
No, it's not that. That's part of the reason, I guess, to not give much away, as people will create versions in their head that are way cooler than it's probably going to be.
Yeah.
So I want to keep a little bit of, not uncertainty, but just...
mystery?
Yeah, you know me in mystery. I like it.
You're like a regular Angela Lansbury.
That's true. My life is narrated.
Mm-hmm.
And heavily influenced by a typewriter.
Yeah.
And I'm prone to cardigans.
you are prone to many old-timey things.
Oh, I heard the story that you can make shoes, that you once made a pair of moccasins that looked store-bought.
Is there anything...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anything leather working that you need? Call David Huntsberger.
Yeah, and when I moved into my last house, not the one I'm at here that's right next to Gilbert that I did not know, I lived like two blocks away from a cobbler, basically. This, I believe he's Honduran. He might have been from Mexico. There's a mix in the shop.
Uh-huh.
But I'd go in there and bring him pizzas and just shoot the shit and like speak Spanish and chit chat, and they taught me how to like actually make shoes in a more like substantial way. So two of the pairs of shoes I have now, I didn't make them, but I took them all apart and then rebuilt them.
Wait, when was this?
This was like a year ago.
Oh, this is after me.
Yeah, yeah.
This is after living with
me. But how did you start getting into that? So basically you've refined it, but like you've been doing it for a while?
He started with horses.
Started with, putting shoes on horses' feet, and then... just worked my way up.
Horse moccasins?
Didn't you used to put horse? Didn't you shoe horses? You used to
love
shoe
that
horses.
Tone.
He shoe horses.
Love that octave you reached.
You used to, back in the valley in Wyoming, he used to shoe the horses.
You're correct, Christopher.
David, sing it.
When I was working on horses' feet.
This was in Wyoming, right?
But I like the idea. I also like the idea that making people's shoes is directly related to shoeing horses, which is couldn't be more different.
It's the next logical step. What are you going to make little booties for cats?
Yeah, it's a toe progression. You get that one clump, you master it, you move up to 3, 4, then 5 ideally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love a pair of shoes that were just little tiny horseshoes under each toe.
It's kind of like individual tap shoes. You'd be tapping for each toe.
Oh, you'd be the best tap dancer ever.
Individual toe tapping.
You'd just twinkle your toes a little and be like a rat-a-tat-tat, and everyone would love it. People would line up for miles.
They really would. I wanted to do, because horses' hooves are basically keratin, the same things that make our fingernails. And it's just a reinforcing of them so that they can tap, basically, without cracking it. So I want to make something that's the equivalent, but just for our fingernails, like a small metal kind of sliver that you would glue on. You'd have unstoppable fingernails. You'd no longer crack them.
So what you're saying is you think that we are a poor design by our Lord and Savior.
We brought it right in there.
Is there an envelope? Watch me push it.
Dude, you really push boundaries as well.
Yeah. It's like you're saying to David, how dare you think that fingernails should be improved?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever... Yeah, there's that movie, The Mosquito Coast, and that Harrison Ford's character was like, the body's a horrible design. We don't have enough fur. We have no claws. It was just like, because he was kind of a pompous inventor guy that thought he could do a better job at designing humans.
Well, Equus, the original horse, had 3 toes, I believe.
His name was Equus?
There's a little guy, everyone called him Equus, or like Quissy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you're not talking about the play, though, right? Where the kid stabs out the horse's eyes?
No. Okay, I'm talking about the little homie Quissy, the original horse.
The early guy, he didn't have any friends.
No.
It sucks to be the first.
Yeah, that's true.
Stupid ears, really ridiculous looking, ugly tail.
Hardly any keratin.
Yeah. Dumb toes. No booties to speak of.
Oh, poor little horse.
Yeah.
Where are you coming from when you were at LAX and we weren't there?
For you.
I don't think it's been a while since I've done this, but I'm not sure I have done it. I've had a flight Friday, a flight Saturday, and a flight tonight. Mm-hmm. So I went to Denver, Phoenix, and then here.
And did you stop in any of those places and do anything?
Yes.
I did some comedy in Denver. That is a great stride.
I think speed walking, but it looks like he's never done it before, and I'm...
Because he's speed walking with a liter bottle of Orange Fanta.
And really awesome. Making a solid effort to drink from it while speed walking.
And also looked like he was doing a character of the guy that was speed walking.
I think that guy was just maybe one of the best comics we've ever known.
Yeah, that was amazing.
He doesn't even know it yet.
Yeah.
So did you have 3 separate gigs?
I only had 1 gig in Denver. And then went to visit a friend of mine in Phoenix, and then we went to the professional football game.
Oh, you went to the professional football match. American football, or are we talking English soccer?
We're talking American football.
Mm-hmm. The indoor kind?
And who
it was indoors today.
And who were the sporting organizations?
These organizations were represented by the municipal... can't think of the other word that goes behind the municipalities of Phoenix, more so Arizona, and San Francisco.
Oh,
that's where
course.
I'm from.
Hey, all right.
Bay Area and back down.
That's where they put their Mac down.
Thank you. Thank you for taking. Well, how was it? How was the game?
Oh, it wasn't. It was fun. Our seats were good in the stadium. The roof was closed, so it was nice and air conditioned in what was otherwise a furnace.
Yeah.
And but the game itself was it wasn't that exciting.
I don't get that. I enjoy football, not as much as you. You know, when we lived together, I didn't watch much of it. But live, I don't. It doesn't get any more exciting for me. But you know what does? Baseball. I enjoy live baseball game. Karen, mm-hmm. you ever been to a baseball game?
Chris, I have. I do also enjoy baseball.
Baseball's great.
It's fun.
I love it.
And it's also like, it's a fun chill out. I think it's a great spectator sport.
Yeah.
Because it goes kind of slow.
Yeah.
But then there's exciting points.
Yeah.
The green is really beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot of downtime where you can just have a conversation with your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. And then you get all the peanuts that you need for the year.
Oh, so many pieces. They just throw peanuts right at you.
Anytime you want peanuts, you're going to get them.
Yeah.
And you get the pleasure of unshelling them.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
I hate it when they're warm. I love it when they're warm. I don't hate it when they're warm. I love it when they're warm, and I love it when they're roasted, and I love it when I have to do the shelling.
What does a shelled peanut make you think of? Quick. That's not quick. Quicker.
Sam's Town Casino on the way to Tahoe, which was a huge... I can't even explain it. We went to Tahoe when I was 8, and this casino was on the way, and it was like... this huge place that had the biggest arcade I've ever seen. It almost looked like an airplane hangar size arcade.
You never forget that.
Amazing. Like, mind-blowing as a kid. And they had... their restaurant area had sawdust on the floor and peanut shells on the floor.
Oh, man, that's
good. It was like, I walked in like, oh, you can just do whatever the fuck you want in here. This is amazing.
That's Hanano's, where I live in Venice. It's a combination of wood shavings... and peanut shells.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And popcorn, too. They let popcorn fall on the floor.
Yeah.
You could just eat popcorn and throw it at your face and have half of it bounce off and land on the floor and no harm, no foul.
Someone established that aesthetic as meaning anything goes.
Right. Enjoy,
and everyone subscribed to it, and there's no way to distance yourself. Like, it's impossible now to walk into a place that's like that and not be like, oh, they have fun here.
Yeah.
Because doesn't that kind of mean you're drunk and you're just throwing stuff on the ground?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I like that about animation where, you know, someone shakes up a soda and explodes everywhere. There's a part of you, especially as you get older, that's like, oh, God, who's going to clean that up? And then it's just never readdressed.
Yeah.
The next time you see it, the room's right back to how it was. You're like, oh, that's great. And I feel that same way about peanut shells on the floor. It's just this kind of kid-like impulse to be, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I want to throw this on the floor and I don't care who cleans it up.
Yeah.
Or if it ever gets cleaned up.
Who cares? What if they grind it into the floor and it becomes a part of things?
Well, I mean, I don't need to brag, and that, of course it was the first thing I thought of, but, you know, I don't want to, again, brag, but I was the voice of some peanuts on a recent Skippy peanut butter campaign.
That's right.
And so the shell pops open, there's two guys in there that live together. And based on their attitudes, some of the peanuts are arguing and saying, well, we're not having a good time on this conveyor belt. Why, they get discarded, but the ones that are having a great time and have positive energy and a party type vibe, they get to move on and get murdered and turned to peanut butter. They earn the right to get squished. And so I went in and did some voices, but it sounds like maybe they didn't use my voice, so... But, you know, so it's
well, I hope that casting director never works again.
Right. Yeah, that's
right.
Tell
them they heard your voice and didn't attach it immediately to a conveyor belt peanut. Idiots.
They don't know how to do this.
I think I do.
Yeah.
I didn't sound youthful enough. I don't know.
What? Did you hear how high your voice went earlier?
I know. I sound like a 15-year-old lady
Just
child.
As an impartial listener who's behind you and cannot see your face, I would easily be convinced that I'm being driven around by a peanut right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not certain that I'm not.
You'll never be able to prove you're not.
Yeah, no one can convince me.
There's a positive peanut driving this Honda. You can feel it.
Well, I hope that they end up using me. But I called and said, hey, when am I getting these sweet, sweet peanut residual checks? She said, well, you would have heard something by now if we were using you. And I was like, what?
I want to come over to a house party and then lean over to my guest and go, "This is all peanut money."
I hope.
See that coffee table? Peanuts bought that.
Yeah. He literally is working for peanuts.
Can we throw shells on the floor? That's the irony.
He actually is very angry.
He'll sue you if you throw peanut shells on the
floor. He's got an allergy. He does not even want peanuts in the room. That's the most interesting part.
And please refer to them as legumes from now on.
I want to go to a party where there's only whispering.
Right.
Just a whisper party.
This sounds like a really fun party.
Don't upset him.
He's got a migraine, and he hates peanuts. And if he comes out, he's going to hit us all again.
Just pass me that gin and tonic.
Just pretend to dance. Don't turn on the music. Oh, God, I'm so scared.
Hey, guys, how's everyone doing?
Oh, no.
Oh God, he's someone here. New. Someone
Thanks
new.
For coming over to my party while I was still asleep.
Wait, are you being me?
I'm you.
Why wouldn't I play me?
Because I'm peanut
you. You playing the other guys.
Yeah. Oh, right. I was being the party goer.
You don't get to be every single person at the peanut party.
Oh, you're right. Touche. Go ahead. Proceed. It's kind of fun to hear your impression of me.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm all over the place today. I've kind of gotten in my own head with all this peanut money.
Hey, I wouldn't get in my own head about that. That's a
We'll see. We'll see when that check comes.
You might.
Can I interest anyone in some jars of my own urine?
Oh, come on. That's not something I would ever... I mean...
You've gone mad. I hope you never see that peanut money. Nothing good will come of it.
This was like looking into a mirror of the future. I hope I don't get that money.
That's right.
I become some eccentric who serves piss at his party.
Yeah, but it has really nice furniture.
Yeah, you're like, you're like, oh yeah, that money's going to change my life for the better. And it's like, no, jars of piss, dude. Jars of piss only.
And yet everyone still knows you as a very gracious host.
Yeah. As long as you whisper.
Yeah.
As long as you whisper, I won't force you.
Why do we keep coming here?
Ignore those jars. It's going to be great.
Word on the street is those used to be jars of peanut butter. He hates it so much that he pissed in it.
He got so upset.
The only thing to get the smell of peanuts out of a jar is urine.
Well, that's common knowledge, not to break from the scene.
No, yeah, we should talk about it.
Yeah. Well, what it is there's a chemical in urine called urea. It's the same thing that dissipates a sting of a jellyfish or, let's say, some athlete's foot.
Oh, it wasn't on the news. It was on the fake news on Saturday Night Live. But the real part of the news segment before whatever hilarious joke they said was that's a rumor that urinating actually on a jellyfish sting increases the pain a little bit.
Ah.
It doesn't. Meat tenderizer, though, still good.
Why would they be talking about that on Saturday Night Live?
Because the joke was then, I don't remember. I think the joke was, the other news that came in is don't get stung by a jellyfish or whatever. It was just like a joke like that.
That wasn't on TV.
I promise it was on Saturday Night Live.
You say it, and then you stare into the camera with dead eyes, and that's hilarious.
Then you start to crack up a little bit.
Yeah.
The person next to you cracks up a lot.
Right.
Yeah. That's what they did the whole time. And they just riddled it with cameos from people over the past several seasons.
Oh.
Because Andy Samberg was the guest. And, you know, it's already depressing when you're home on a Saturday night, and you know that other people are at some high-octane dance club and having sex in the shadows, and you're at home.
They're eating peanuts nonstop.
And it's like, oh, this is kind of lame. And then watching SNL just brings you to full-blown depression.
Yes.
Because it's so
shitty. It's never cheered anyone up.
It's bad.
It's kind of like it's like an alcoholic family where you have to hang in and pretend like it's great and everything's going well, when actually it's super terrible.
Right. It's nice to hear this,
because
I feel so often that any sort of negativity toward anything really is met with a certain amount of disdain.
Honestly,
particularly SNL.
With SNL, because you know, if you watch an old episode, it turns out I was never a fan of it. It was bad back in the old days.
That's a stretch, though. No way. There've been some pretty great sketches.
The Martin Short era
was amazing.
And there were some good sketches on this episode, too.
Yeah, I would say that, like you could watch
two.
any
any season of the last 10 years, any really even almost any episode. And for the most part, there's going to be a sketch that at least makes you chuckle.
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig did great work.
She was on last night. Yeah, she had cameos. A lot of people.
When she came on and did the... When they did the Lawrence Welk sketch and she was the girl with that had hands. The small hand.
Yeah.
I lost my mind. My sister said it's the hardest she ever saw me laugh. I lost my mind. It was the funniest thing I've ever
seen. She is so bizarre and funny. You have a lot of feral cats in your... Is that a... Just a little dog?
People put out food for them sometimes, too. They used to fight like cats and cats in our backyard. So loud, just screaming and yelling. And then one of them established dominance and or killed the other ones. Ooh. And now it's nice and quiet.
Yeah, oh, wow. Good. Keep it quiet. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. I don't care if blood is shed.
I don't care if cat blood gets shed.
Speaking of shed cat blood, David, I know that you saw my post, but I had to put down the cat that you once lived with. I hope this isn't...
Oh, I know. No, I did. I sent you a text.
I know.
With my condolences. And that picture you attached to it was very sweet.
It wasn't sweet. That was an old... That was back when... But we found out why he peed on everything. When cats
get
feel
stung by
pain,
jellyfish...
Oh. Yes. He's trying to pee on his own jellyfish wound that happened to be in his... The jellyfish had gotten him in the bladder, so it's a no-win situation.
What torture?
No, this is serious. When cats... Because a lot of cats, when they're sick or have a kidney or bladder issue, which apparently my cat did for years, wherever they pee and they feel pain, they associate that with the place they always pee. So if it's a litter box and... They have a bladder infection. They're like, well, I'm not going to pee there anymore. How about over here?
Gotta find some fresh laundry.
Yeah, exactly. So he peed on, like, David had folded, done his laundry, folded it. It was nicely stacked in it. And my cat came along. Of all the places to pee, he's like, well, maybe this one won't hurt my dick. And he peed on all of his clean clothes.
The worst one was I had done laundry and I hadn't folded it. I just thrown it on my bed. And I left for like 3 days to go to my grandpa's. And I came home and, you know, like, I was just tired and like, oh, man, I'm going to have a nice nap and get in my own bed. And I opened the door and it met with that smell of, oh, that's not good.
No.
And he had pissed and shit on my laundry and he was laying in it. And then he woke up and just kind of looked at me like, you're home.
No shame. He totally forgot.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, you need to get in here.
Well, he was really doing that at my dad's, and the guy was like, oh, that's because it hurts when he pees. That's when they pee everywhere, because of pain.
That
anyway, that's no excuse. It's just a reason.
Yeah, that sucks, though, that he had, like, an uncomfortable...
Well,
you know,
it would have gotten worse. That's why it was, like, one of those situations where it's just like... But I don't know if I would go through the... I don't know if anyone's ever put down an animal. And we have sad moments on the show. Here comes one.
We celebrate them.
My dad and I were like, well, we should go there together and be part of the putting down process, which I do not recommend to anyone. It was horrifying. Because you're holding the cat and they inject him and he just slow... He doesn't really go to sleep. I thought he'd get groggy and lay down in the fetal position. But he just kind of sprawled out with his eyes open and his tongue out. It was horrifying. And I'm like, well, that gives me no closure. It just makes me feel horrible.
Yeah.
So just a recommendation out to everyone. Don't do that. Just drop them off. You stand to gain nothing by being there for the experience, except for some cat nightmares. Right now, there's not a dry eye in this car.
Yeah.
I really just got to everyone.
You know what it made me think of is I had a cat that... We adopted her, and she was kind of old, and then she just got super old and rickety and really skinny, and then we found out she had some kind of a tumor, and so they said, we'll keep an eye on her, but you should bring her back in, like, 2 weeks, and if, you know, like, if she hasn't died by then, we should put her to sleep.
Yeah.
And so we left for the day to go to the movies, like, say, a week later, and when we came back... I opened the TV room door, and she had what it looked like. So she had died, but it looked like she had tried to jump off the couch, and her claws got caught in the one, like her front claws got caught in the couch. So she was upside down, like hanging off the couch with a look on her face like, oh my God. And, but she was frozen that way, dead. And so I was.
So it was kind of a hang in there kitty poster.
It was, yeah, it was a reverse taxidermy, hang in there kitty.
In taxidermy form.
It was a worst case scenario hang in there kitty.
I've tried to scribble a will for you jerks many times and no one's listening. So I've taken it in my own claws.
I'm going to die and I'm going to make this as awful for you as possible.
That's terrible.
I actually walked in and just immediately walked back out. I was just like, oh no, that's bad. It was, but it actually makes me laugh though in a way. Cause it's all, I mean, it's just sad. It's sad no matter what.
I think I have enough of a sense of humor and it would be nice to have him around. I think a lot of taxidermists just won't do domesticated animals.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to have your cat stuffed and just have him on the mantle, like fighting a rainbow trout or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in a really regal or bigger animal than him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like killing a bear.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Killing a woolly, climbing into a marsupial pouch. I don't know why I occasionally...
Climbed into that pouch. That's where he wanted to die.
It's not for you, Sydney. That's for Joey's. My cat's name was Sydney.
You like pouches.
Pouches? Okay. And that's it.
Pouches.
Listen, do you need a ride down under?
I like that idea. You know, like, all the gun laws cannot be changed. Taxidermy has these ridiculous laws surrounding it. You can't transport it across state lines. You can't buy it in certain capacities.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. Taxidermy is really hard to get your hands on. They've really limited it in an effort to sort of... You can't just, like, bring an animal in. It has to have been a tagged animal, so they won't, like, taxidermy. Just say, like, you find roadkill or something. Really? It's just kind of a...
Wait, how do you know all that?
I forget where I read about it. I mean, it's the same thing of, like, brass knuckles are a felony charge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%.
That's awesome.
So if you have brass knuckles that could shoot a little projectile, you could buy them and be fine. But if they're just brass knuckles, you're in big trouble.
Wow.
Oh, I see I'm parked in front of this guy's driveway now, but he has a light to let people know when people are blocking his driveway so he can come out with his brass knuckle gun. Oh, that's silly. When I was in shop class, I made brass knuckles out of aluminum and had them. They were an attachment to a mace can, so you could mace people while punching them.
Oh,
I know that sounds... each episode has to have a little violence, and if it, you know, if it's just a story about me as a young person, then so be it. I'm going to quit driving around David's neighborhood because... we've been open about the fact that we didn't pick him up at LAX.
Yeah.
So I realized, why waste gas?
Yeah, but I do still need a ride around my neighborhood.
It's been
nice to just get a look at it.
For no other reason, so you can learn the goddamn cross streets.
Yeah. I was excited to see Bar Latino, which was that bar that was kind of on a side street there.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Bar Latino?
It was called Bar Latino, and it literally... was down, it looked like down like a little alley. I've never seen it before.
I wish that was a celebrity. Bar Latino in the news today.
That's a great name.
She's feisty.
Yeah.
Bar Latino she mixes it up.
She's a Victoria's Secret model, but then she's also an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? MMA?
Yeah. Mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
MMA.
You don't see a lot of cross disciplines like that.
No.
We should.
Yeah. I like that.
They make money.
I think we need it. America is ready for a Victoria's Secret model with just old English tattoo letters on her lower back.
Yeah.
Just a bruiser.
Yeah.
With swollen knuckles and a neck tat.
Your next angel walking down the cat is also a competitive bass fisher.
She's no angel if you're a rainbow trout. Give it up. For Bar Latino. Oh, that's terrific.
But I wonder what images people have in their heads right now of Bar Latino.
I just thought of her as a calf roper.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. She's got a strut to her.
She's a little shorter than the other angels.
Yeah.
She's right. A little...
oddly pigeon-toed, and people find it sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our attraction is going to come... That's a UFO.
Yeah?
Nah.
Sure.
No, that's an airplane.
Couldn't be more of a plane. Standard
you're right.
plane light.
You're
it's
right.
so low.
Oh, that's a helicopter. You're all wrong. It's a cop-copter.
It is one of those cop-copters. Get a lot of them here. Our old house on Stoner, you guys were all gone, and the cop-copter shined the light into the yard. And that happens, you know, it's going around.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it left for about 30 seconds, whoo, came back. Light right in, like right on the back step. And I'm looking through a sliding glass door in the backyard, just kind of like, oh, that's weird. And it came back again three times to the point where I was like, oh, shit, there's someone in our yard. Like, ooh. They are convinced that that's where the person
and
is.
And I wasn't home because,
no one was
you know,
home.
I was a protector of the house.
Oh, I knew.
I'm sure.
Got nervous when
I immediately, yeah. Yeah. And well, the mace, yeah. I mean, that's all I was thinking about.
Where's Chris? Where's Chris?
Where's my protector?
Not to mention this, baby. Remember this? This used to be in the closet.
Yeah,
Knocked
yeah.
Knocked some teeth out with
that. That'll do some stuff.
Yeah, don't get in our backyard, helicopter.
Chris just beat up a helicopter. Yeah. It's a felony.
I'll fling this up towards you, coppers. You ain't taking me alive. I'll toss it into your propellers. And then what? Did you ever see a shadowy...
I panicked. I thought the person had nothing to lose at that point. They were going to dive through the glass, take me hostage, and go down swinging. And I was like, well, that's what I would do.
Right.
I mean, this person, if they're even remotely reasonable, will kill me.
Yeah.
So I just left and went back to my room. I was like, you're going to have to work for it if you're going to come get me.
You have to pry me out of my bedspread.
You have to work for it by opening another door.
Yeah, one other door, no lock. Minimal.
Robe on the back. You know, the tough stuff.
Yeah, the real tough stuff. That hallway is up to 9 feet long.
Good
so
luck.
Do your worst.
Good luck getting at me. There's a laundry basket with piss-riddled towels that you'll trip over.
You're going to slip and catch it. I hope it's worth it for you.
Oh, it's, yeah, we did it. I did it. The cat did it for our protection.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I just leave these puddles of urine, a burglar will slip in it, and I can save my human friends that I love.
He was a noble...
Yeah,
noble-hearted
it was out of
animal.
You know when the sellout Native American guides the you know U.S. troops to his tribe?
Sure, like they Pocahontas. Went this
way. Yeah, all those
Jesus
guys.
God.
I know she was basically enslaved.
Colors of the wind. Yeah. No way.
Not according to any old classic animation I've seen. She did it willingly, and there was a little love between her and Meriwether.
She made a handsome profit.
I was thinking of Sacagawea.
She had such nice outfits after that.
Yeah. But that's as tracking down that cat's poop was the closest I'll ever get to being like a tracker.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of like, they went this way.
He'd always take a knee and put his finger in it and hold it up to the air and then lick it a little. Yep. This happened today.
This is
coming out of the northwest.
Yeah, yeah. This is no more than 2 days ago. They're on foot.
That's great.
Well, God rest him.
Well, thank you. He was a decent cat.
Yeah, he's a nice fella.
Well, we podcasted for a while because I thought you were right around the corner.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys are ready to wrap her up and call her a night?
Well, unless you have any closing statements or maybe some announcement. What do you have coming up?
The Kickstarter is... I didn't mention that I actually have... Like, that's what I'm doing for the animation thing is raising the money...
Okay.
...through human beings contributing to the internet.
Sure.
And then... So that goes until the end of September. And then the material itself, I'm like, the actual show with... We have to, like... get this specific software to run it and basically work like a VJ. So you like move the animation clips into a timeline in rhythm with like how the jokes are going.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to be practicing that at the Improv in LA on November 8th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be pretty fun. I'm doing it at the Neon Venus in LA on October 24th.
Wait, am I doing one of those shows?
I think so.
I think I am doing one of those shows.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to for the first time ever, this might be the first time in Do You Need a Ride history where the engine isn't running.
Whoa.
Maybe. But
proud to be a part of it.
My car was jiggling, though, in a fashion that made me scared.
Ah. Well, one thing about this bunch, we do scare pretty quickly.
It's easy to get scared.
Yeah. I mean, we know Chris and I will. I guess we haven't. Well, the cat scared you.
Yeah.
And you left the room. So, yeah, I guess we all... have pretty minimal thresholds for toughness.
Do you feel the jiggling?
Yes.
Oh, that's me. Sorry.
Oh, God.
That's my leg.
That's your leg. You're nervous. Are you nervous to be on our podcast?
I'm trying to keep my blood pressure up.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot you have diabetes and gout. Were you feeling that tickle?
Oh, the King's disease. I completely felt it. After all of our car problems today, I was just like, this is perfect. This car is literally going to like fall apart as we sit in it.
Were you thinking that? You had that look on your face. I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I was like, this is over. This is the
end. So, sorry. Sorry, David. So, you're going to run the show at those places.
And we're going to shoot it in Austin November 15th. And then prior to that, I'm doing a week of shows in October in New York at the Creek in the Cave, the 27th.
When are you going to be in Austin?
Austin's November 15th.
I am going to be there also.
Hey, terrific.
I'm doing Velveeta Room that night.
You guys get another cat.
That's great.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Are you doing Friday as well?
November 14th and 15th.
Oh, cool. All right, good.
I'll be there.
All right, fantastic.
That's terrific. Yeah. That's during my little Texas run. I'll see you in Texas.
I will see you in Texas.
I'll see you before that.
There's room. There are only like 60 seats in both, so there's not any reason to fight over which show to go see, people.
Yeah, I disagree. Exactly. I think it's a great opportunity for you guys to...
Right now?
Yeah.
But this was going so well, and we're friends.
Listen, it's got to end big. Exciting. Something's got to happen.
Chris, I'm nervous, has the mace knuckles, but I've got those little fingernail clips I've mentioned.
Oh.
I've got some prototypes. I'm not afraid to thrash you with, my friend.
Fingernail horseshoes?
Yeah. My keratin is locked in.
I like that when we think of fighting, we have to bring weapons.
So it's not to break a nail.
Don't get too close.
When I get to fighting, I do not want to break my fingernails.
Mm-mm. That's the same reason I don't throw frisbee. Well, thanks for being on Do You Need a Ride? Do You Read Denied?
Don't deny it again.
Don't be denying Rita, because you need her. Don't be denying Rita a ride. Thanks for being
Rita
on it.
Rita Rudd?
Don't deny Rita
Rudner.
Oh, we can get into a whole thing about that, that she's the mother of like all this new girl comedy that's tongue-in-cheek and kind of slutty and irreverent.
Oh,
Rita Rudner.
Thank God we didn't get into that.
With the subliminal, like, because it's not good to do that in a Walmart. So I, you know what I mean?
That's Wendy Liebman.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Rita Rudner's the one that would wear like a gown and be like, my husband.
She
was like diamonds.
Yeah. I'd leave him if he wasn't so rich.
Yeah.
Those sort of punchlines.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she looked like she was wearing an 80s prom dress.
All the time.
Yeah, very
smiley, big eyes.
Yeah.
She's great.
Oh, I don't like smiley, big eyes like in that Soundgarden video. I do not like that at all.
I like smiley, little squinty, shifty eyes.
Yeah. I like my eyes shifty.
Smiley Big Eyes was my favorite character on Boardwalk Empire last season.
I never got into that.
You got to.
I should. Well, it's never too late. What with the internet and all that, what have you.
Yeah.
Word has it you were out hanging with Smiley Big Eyes.
Hey, I swear.
That ain't true, boss.
Snuck, don't worry about it.
I don't even know Smiley.
This has been Boardwalk Empire, the radio program.
I was with Bar Latino all night.
Stay tuned next week for the Bar Latino episode. And now, Little Orphan Annie. Oh, man, I'm glad we grew up in an era before entertainment was invented.
Yeah.
But
they're really reaching.
Yeah. It is deep, Karen. You're right to make that face. I've said a lot of thought-provoking shit tonight.
I literally am, like, in that mindset where if the door opened, I would just fall backwards out of the car right now.
Karen's had a long day. We were about to have, that would have been our third time at LAX today, so.
Yeah.
So let's wrap it up.
All right, yeah.
David, you were a dream guest.
Yeah, you're a dream guest.
Thank you, guys. This is a dream episode.
So fun.
It was a good episode. It is and it was. It is right now and it will be when we're done.
I'll second that.
I had a lot of fun. Thanks for driving me around my neighborhood.
Of course. Sorry we didn't make it to the airport for a more traditional episode, but... You've been terrific, and you've been listening to Do You Read a...
Do you do it every time?
Yeah, every time. Do you read a Rudner a nine?
Do you, my husband, a ride?
Okay, guys, I got it this time. You've been listening to Give Rita Rudner a Knife.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine? Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.